My favorite part is the person clapping at the end.
I'm Andrew Riley, and this is the 15th Drupal Easy Podcast, also known as the Quince.
The what?
And today we have Mike Anillo. How's it going, Mike?
It is going well. Happiness is staring into a giant box of yellow Legos, as opposed to staring into a giant box of black Legos, which is kind of depressing.
I prefer green M&Ms. And we also have Ryan Price with us. How's it going, Ryan?
Well, all I can say is that bourbon and podcasting are best friends.
Yes, they are. Until the playback.
Wow. Suddenly I'm a lightweight with my glass of water here.
So every week we choose five stories to talk about what's going on in the Drupal world lately. Now, we're not going to tell you the URLs, but you can go to drupaleasy.com/podcast to find all the URLs and click to your heart's desire. So this week, our first story is about Drupal and why it's here to stay. Personally, I don't think it's here to stay. It's a fly-by-night operation, but Ryan's going to try to convince you otherwise.
This is Drupal stuff. It's like it hasn't been around for 8 years or anything. Happy birthday, Drupal, by the way. Woohoo! That happened sometime since our last podcast. Actually, it says here in this blog post, it's been around for 8 years, so it was on the internet. It must be true. This very, very lovely blog out of Canada gives us some insight about why Drupal is here to stay. And there's a pretty graph with blue, red, and orange. And apparently nobody uses PostNuke anymore. And nobody uses PHPNuke anymore. Who knew? But they say Drupal has, quote, major organizations using it. And they invest in it in that, you know, they're... people like Sony Records are putting people like Earl Miles, Merlin of Chaos, on their payroll so that he can make their platform better. Discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I don't know. Did you mention who the pod? Not the pod. The blog post.
Oh, I just
by?
Said Canadians. It's they're a company called AppNovation, and well, they appear to be a Vancouverian Drupal shop.
I think you can give credit to all Canadians for this blog post. It's that good.
But it's written by a guy named Arnold.
Arnold. Do you actually say Vancouverians? That's like...
Vancouverians. I don't know if that's a real world, but...
Can you go with Canucks? Well, Canucks is pretty much all of Canada, though. Is Canucks a bad word for Canadians? I hope not. It's a hockey team. It can't be a bad word, right?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, it's what I liked about this post is it's short, it's sweet, it gets to the point, and it gets out. And it makes some very good points just about the growing market share, about the large companies that support it.
Did you guys happen to notice number 3 on the list, that training can be obtained cost effectively?
Lucky for us, we know people who can help train you in Drupal.
Indeed. In fact, I'm going to skip right to the announcement part. If you're in the southeast of the United States, we're having Drupal training. Like, less than a week from when you hear this, if you're listening to it when it comes out.
And we have
check out DrupalEasy.com.
And there's a full day in August with UberCart, which is fantastic.
I've said this before, but come down and enjoy the hot, hot weather in Florida. Learn about UberCart. Bring the family. Take into Universal Studios for roller coasters. I hear they're putting in a Harry Potter, like, thing down there. It's going to be great.
It's almost as if we planned to pimp our training on this first story, but in actuality, we actually did not. It just kind of fell out of it.
It's an organic process, people.
Yeah, I never read past the first paragraph on these, so it's just a miracle I got that far to number 3.
But you know, another interesting part of the graph that's shown on this blog post is that the search volume index, this is one of those Google Trends graph, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like it.
So it's measuring search volume index. The current search volume of Drupal appears to be almost double that of PHPNuke at its height. So I think that's kind of an impressive stat, because I know when I, you know, a few years ago, everyone was talking about PHPNuke and, you know, that was the way to go. And
is this part of if I remember right, the Nuke's having lots of security problems. Do you think that's part of their downfall?
I just, you know, I tried to get into PHP Nuke once, and it was just a mess. It was just, you know, I know that there are some security issues there, but it was just this beast.
Well, according to one of the commenters here, the actual guy from, he actually just says, oh, Post Nuke. Like, one of the guys from Post Nuke actually got in a car accident, rest his soul. So apparently there have been problems with the maintainers, which Drupal hasn't necessarily really had, because we've got a pretty healthy lead developer and he has a baby.
Yeah, and plus it's not like the core Drupal development rests in the hands of one or two people.
Right.
On to our next story. It's going to be about Panels 3 and some new screenshots that came out. Now, Mike, I know you're kind of a rabid Panels fan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
He's a hater. He is a hater.
No, that's not true. That's, you know, Panels 1 I used a lot. I enjoyed it. But when the Panels 2 beta came out, I was overwhelmed with grief over it. Because I just felt it was way too complicated. And granted, it was beta. You know, did it even make it to beta? I think it did make it to beta. But I looked at it once and I said, this is not something I can deal with right now, or this is not something I can bring to my clients for that matter and walk them through how to use it. Because for the most part, a lot of them were new to content management systems. So showing them Panels and teaching them how to, you know, administer it, you know, would have been a large task for me. So a few days ago, Earl Miles, second mention today, posted some screenshots from the new Panels 3 user interface. And I must say, it pretty much addressed all of my concerns. Granted, I haven't used it yet. There's not even a Drupal.org beta release or any type of release, I don't think. Unless you grab it out of CVS directly. But it gets rid of the delegator module, which was, you know, kind of a nebulous module to begin with, as far as I was concerned, But the screenshots really kind of appear to step you through the process. It's almost like a wizard for creating, you know, whatever type of panel you want. So I don't know. Did you guys have the same impression?
No, I agree. It's part tutorial, part demonstration, part I'm so sorry that I screwed the last one up, people.
Well, I don't think he screwed the last one up. I just think he was, you know, he's a big thinker, you know, and I think he knew what he wanted the back end to look like. He knew the way he wanted the code to look like, and that's what he was focused on.
It was challenging to use. I tried to show it off at a Drupal user group, and it kind of crashed.
Yeah, I've got to say, throughout time, a few people have tried convincing me of using Panels, but I've actually stayed away from it. It just scares me a little bit. But for those of you following at home, the Drupal Easy Drinking Game is every time Earl is mentioned, you have to take a shot.
Nice.
Well, the thing about Panels is it does add a lot of overhead to your site. So there are times when you could get around using it and not have to, you know, worry about that overhead. But there are times, especially when you're dealing with context, where Panels can really help you out a lot.
Mike, did you say context?
I did say context.
That might be a really good transition, Andrew.
Are you virtually kicking him under the table?
Yeah. No, I was going through the tabs. So for our segue, we have the development, staging, and production problem in Drupal. Now,
insert segue here.
Now, if you folks have run a production site and a development and or staging site, you know the nightmare that is actually trying to merge all of your content together from what you've been updating in the database on your dev or staging server and getting that into production and not screwing things up. So the development seed, I don't know, it looks like Adrian Rossau posted this about putting a couple modules together to make the migration of the data that much easier. Now, Mike, I think you also tagged this one. Have you used the three modules that are referenced here?
I have only used context module. I haven't used it in a production site yet, although Ryan and I are talking about doing it for one of our clients right now. This podcast is suddenly having a theme for me, and that is a few of the things we're talking about are kind of not blue sky ideas, but explaining things or showing things in a way that's a lot easier than they've been explained in the past. You know, the panels three stuff, the way the screenshots are displayed, or actually just the new screenshots make panels three seem a lot more approachable. And this is an excellent blog post about the context features and spaces module. Because they're a little bit hard to grok when you just read the module page, or if you go back and read the initial blog posts about them. But Adrian does a nice job of just kind of telling a story, kind of fitting in how these three modules can help out. And it really is eye-opening, and I can definitely see us, you know, integrating at the very least context into most of our sites, and probably features and spaces as well.
Side note, Adrian, you and I should trade Ben Fold's bootlegs. That's all I have to say about that. If you get it, then you get it. I got a chance to talk to some of the development seat guys up at DrupalCon about context spaces features. And then we've mentioned it, I know, when Development Seed released their Basecamp clone, which I don't remember right now, Sunrise? It has something to do with the sun, for sure. You can see this at work in a lot of the products they release, that it's really easy to sort of turn features on and off, understand where am I in the site right now, and topic of this blog post obviously would be take the settings that you may end up storing in the database, put them in code. It's a good development practice for sure.
Yeah, basically, I believe, and Ryan, I think you know more about this than I do, but the features module, basically what that does is it writes a module for you to hold all of those settings.
Well, you use features to help you write code that basically allows checkbox turning on and off of things that you normally might have to visit five admin screens. You encapsulate in one checkbox, but it requires you to write almost in a way bunches of PHP. All of these context features spaces don't really come without at least a bachelor's degree in PHP coding, you know?
Right. So there's some work involved, but on the upside, you know, you can basically save one of these features as a file in your source code repository and deploy that feature on any site you want with a few clicks, as opposed to going in, creating a content type, creating some views, creating some blocks, and configuring it all on a per-site basis. You create one feature, you save it as code, and then you just move it to any site you want and turn it on and off.
Now, this definitely isn't an easy topic, especially mixing these three modules together. But looking through the notes here, it looks like there's one, if not a couple more, different DrupalCon Paris topics that are going to be going on about the various modules in this post.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I actually voted a couple of them already up on the DrupalCon.org site. Yeah, the guys at Development Seed are really good, not only, you know, with writing these modules, but kind of explaining them and building support in the community for them. So kudos to them. Great job.
So Andrew, do you think the Development Seed guys are going to be updating these modules for Drupal 7 before it comes out?
There's a pretty good chance, especially if they join the D7CX movement. They need to have a catchier title, I think.
Softball pitched and home run.
That was so smooth. It's almost like I don't even realize we're on a new topic now.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, who's working on panels three real quick?
Earl Miles.
There you go. Drink, folks. Okay, so let's talk about the D7CX. Mike, you submitted that story.
Yeah, this is a great idea by Mo Schweitzman, who's been around the Drupal community forever. But he basically wrote a quick little blog post with two main things regarding Drupal 7. The first thing is that he wants people who maintain modules to basically take a pledge, or make a pledge, I should say, and put it right on their module page that they will have their module ready for Drupal 7, the day Drupal 7 is released.
And he says final release. So that means one of those green bars, right, Mike?
Yes. Final absolute, you know, released, press release to the world type. And he was looking, you know, originally he said, let's try and get the top 40 contrib modules by use. But it's kind of grown a little bit, you know, well, probably a lot past that. There have been a lot of maintainers who have tagged their modules with this pound D7CX. And there's actually, you can go to a page on Drupal.org and search for, you know, the D7CX. And there's modules like the admin menu, backup and migrate, which is one of our favorites, block queue, bookmarks, the charts module. I mean, there are how many pages here? 7 pages right now, or over 6 pages of modules that have taken this pledge. Stuff like Drush, file field, which, you know, by the time Drupal 7 comes around might be, you know, mostly in core. 5-star, flag, another one of my favorite modules. Just list goes on and on. So that's one thing. So if you're on Drupal.org and you see this pound D7CX, that's what this means. It basically means that the maintainer is saying, oh yeah, my module is going to be ready on day one.
And it's a pretty tall order. So people, if you're listening, you can help out in some way. Documents, QA, it really needs to be a community effort. These maintainers just can't do it themselves.
Yeah, by all means, if you have a favorite module, help out your maintainers. The other cool idea which Moshe has, which I have a feeling it's one of those things where he has this idea and he's asking someone to step forward, and instead everyone's going to take one step backwards, if you know what I mean, is the idea of having someone be a contrib release manager, kind of like, you know, each major version of Drupal has its own release manager. Webchick is for Drupal 7. But, you know, having someone be a contrib release manager to kind of help manage, you know, maybe the top 40 modules. If there's a module that's kind of fallen by the wayside and the maintainer needs some help, then it would be up to the contrib release manager to kind of drum up support and say, who can help get this module ready? It's a cool little idea. And already in the comments, you know, as far as who that might be, some people have said, yeah, great idea, Mosh. How about you? Which is a good idea, because Mosh is, you know, he's a charismatic guy, and, you know.
And he's got a cool name.
He does. I mean, it's Mosh. I mean, isn't Mosh in The Office? Isn't that the guy on the beet farm?
Oh, his cousin, Dwight's cousin.
Yeah, Dwight's cousin. Isn't that Mosh?
I don't know. It's either that or Earl, so drink, people.
Leave us a comment on drupaleasy.com/podcast and tell us all about it.
So anyway, I think it's a great idea. It's just another way to kind of get the community psyched for Drupal 7. And like Mosh says, it's just make as big of an impact as possible with this release. And based on all the features going in, you know, it's going to be hard not for it to have a big release.
And on the heels of that one, our next story is about Drupal and its rising popularity and how it can help you pay your rent. I'm actually going to save you $19.95. You don't need to call the guy with the question marks on his jackets. Apparently, all you need to learn is the Drupal. According to Adriz's post on his personal blog, he has a pretty little graph, and it almost has the same colors as the other graph that has Drupal just shooting up in the sky over Joomla and WordPress. That's the demand for talent. So do you guys notice that the demand is really up for Drupal developers out there?
Oh, and whereas the other two are kind of leveling off?
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, yeah, it's Drupal and Joomla and WordPress.
And this is just from one website, Indeed.com. It's like up over 200,000 jobs right now.
Yeah, I think is Indeed.com, that's kind of like that's for job searches, what like Kayak is for travel. Is that right? It's a job search aggregator type of site?
I believe it is.
I don't know if it aggregates, but it's a pretty cool site that you can even search for all kinds of crazy information that might not necessarily just be about or just the job. It has information about it that's kind of cool. And as we're seeing with this graph.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have. I mean, there's always more people looking for Drupal developers. You know, we get calls all the time from people of all types of background looking for developers, either like one-man shops who've just heard about Drupal, up to big companies who are saying, hey, you know, we're looking for 3 or 4 developers. I know Ryan and I both get calls probably on a weekly basis from headhunters, you know, looking for, saying, hey, you know, do you guys know anybody who's looking for a Drupal job?
I mean, for me, it's been that way for well over a year. That was how I ended up getting hooked up with Popular Science in the first place, was through a placement agency. And, you know, I no explicit shout outs here because I guess it's not a commercial for them, but I love you guys.
Yeah, the one thing I always tell, you know, I know a lot of designers and who are either pure designers or dabble in HTML and CSS a little bit. But anyone who has an interest, who's a designer, I always say get into Drupal theming. Because if you can do the pure design and implement it as a theme, you will find work, you know, in a Drupal world.
And if you can't find work, call me.
Yeah, you're not looking hard enough. Because it's very rare these days to find one person who you can say, design me this, and I don't want you to deliver me a PSD file. I want you to deliver me a Drupal theme. And that's worth a very high hourly rage, to be perfectly honest. Did I say rage? Hourly rage?
Hourly rage for panels 3.
Especially if I say, and it has to work in IE6. What's your hourly rage for that?
What would Earl Miles say if you asked him to make it work in IE6?
Actually, talking about rates, not rages, I just went on Indeed.com. They have a cool salary button that I always like to snoop around. You can type in words and see what the average salary is for jobs with that. Drupal right now is listed at average salary $68,000. Joomla is listed at $66,000 and WordPress at $58,000. So apparently Drupal people are higher paid on the average than those other ones.
So tall people, Drupal people, and people with, never mind, males. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
Ooh, how's that bourbon?
This is my attempt at comedy, guys.
Call Earl.
Oh man. In a few minutes. Ryan's gonna be out. Keep saying Earl.
Like a Dixie Chick song. Goodbye, Earl.
You're on your own there, dude. Sorry.
Sorry.
until AC/DC covers the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah. Oh, that's a sad, sad day. Well, I don't have a segue for this one, so we have some Drupal easy news. Let's see what we got this week.
Well, I think we already went through the news, didn't we? I mean, we have our a workshop coming up in Orlando on Thursday, July 23rd. It's a content management workshop. It's going to focus on CCK and Views. And then in August, we will have another workshop on Ubercart. All day on Ubercart for beginners, basically. So if you have a Drupal site and you'd like to learn how to integrate Ubercart and start selling stuff, that is that's the workshop for you.
And keep watching our Twitter accounts. We will be announcing some more super secret surprise screencasts in the next month, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, don't forget these training workshops can help you make more money because Drupal is in demand.
There you go.
Yeah, earn $68,000 a year by paying us money. How does that work?
Well, it would be $68,000, you know, minus a, you know, a very small daily fee.
There you go.
For training. It's a drop in the bucket.
We will also come to your place of business and teach everybody that works for you how to use Drupal, if you want.
Very flexible that way.
Including the janitor.
And Mike, tell them about the quick tips.
Quick tips, of course, yes. We have daily quick tips only through our Twitter feed, though. So if you are interested in learning a little bit of Drupal every day, I mean, these are short 3 or 4 paragraph things. Some of them are aimed towards beginners. Some of them are aimed towards module developers. Just follow us on Twitter at Drupal Easy. And in addition to, you know, getting quick tips, we will put discount codes for our workshops, and usually that is where the first notifications of our online webinars go.
And now it's time for our picks of the week. Looks like you're up first this week, Mike.
Yeah, I am going with the Table Wizard module. That's at drupal.org/project/TW, and it's a module by Mike Ryan. And this is actually one of the modules by Curve. And we might have to start drinking whenever I mention Moshe's name, because Curve is a company that was started by Moshe and Mike Ryan, and they specialize in migrating data into Drupal. And I believe their two main clients are so far that they've talked about. I'm sure there's many more. The Economist, and I believe there was one of the Genome projects. I hope I have that right. But anyway, so the Table Wizard module, it's a super cool module. What it does is it allows you to take any MySQL table and read it and views enable it within a matter of seconds. And if you have multiple tables that are related through, you know, primary key, foreign key relationships, you can specify those relationships and also use those relationships in views. So it's a super cool way of looking at any data, non-Drupal, you know, MySQL table data, and pulling it into Drupal and looking at it in views. It's especially useful when it's combined with the Migrate module, and the Migrate module is the second of the Curve modules that help in migrating data in. But on its own, even if you have this a pile of data that you don't necessarily want to import into Drupal, but you still want to display it on your Drupal site, as long as it's a MySQL table, you can create views out of it. And then, you know, create a page out of your view and display that on your site. It's really a super cool module. And if you do anything with a large amount of data in MySQL and you want to look at it, you know, through Drupal, try it out.
Now, one thing that's a little bit odd about this module, whenever you activate it, you actually have to say, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. Anyone get that?
I'm there with you, dude. I just don't know how to respond.
That happens to me a lot in my life.
Okay, you have to explain that one to me, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me explain it in this way. At Andrew's office, they have an office room, a meeting room named after old 80s video games, and it's a very nerdy place. They play Settlers of Catan on certain evenings, like across the whole office tournaments.
Yeah, we have signups. It's cutthroat. I will, how about this? At drupaleasy.com/podcast in the notes, I will post a link to the LARPing video that I'm referencing so everyone out there can see the amazingness of Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt. My pick of the week is the account reminder. And for those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while, know I like the little simple modules, I suppose. So this module, you install it, and then when people sign up for your site, you know, they create a new user, but they don't ever log in again, it sends a follow-up email after a specified period of time just to say, hey, you signed up. Did you really want to come to the site? To try and, you know, lure them back in. I find it great for forums and other user heavy sites just to try and get those people back. Now, have either of you used this module?
I have not. I've heard about this. You know, the one thing that pops in my head when I look at this is does it include any statistics?
No, it doesn't include statistics.
See, that's what I would find that very interesting to know. You know, if you wait 3 months and send this out, what percentage of users who haven't logged in yet log in based on that email?
Now, that would be interesting.
Do you have a sense of that based on your experience at all? Or do you want to make something up for us?
I honestly have no idea how it works, but it seems like something everyone should have on their site.
There you go.
And Brian, how about your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is actually a PDF document, which is not really different than a lot of the other weird stuff I've picked in the past. This is published by a Drupal shop called Media Current, and I believe they're in Atlanta or nearby Atlanta. They have decided that communicating with clients, new clients specifically, is just a little bit too hard, and I'm going to have to agree with them. One of the biggest problems that I often face when I'm trying to talk to a new client is the actual client education process. What is Drupal? Why is it a good idea? What sites have your shop worked on in the past? where can I go find out more about Drupal? What kind of statistics do you guys use? What's your policy on SEO? How do we move forward? What kind of, you know, documents do I as the client need to prepare for you, the developer, and so on and so on? And what's your development cycle like? So they have prepared a 30-page PDF about how they do business with their clients. It's really neat, and it's something that's been on my sort of hit list for years. I mean, probably as soon as I started being an independent website developer, I've always thought about making a document like this, and now someone's done it, and it's really sort of inspired me to go ahead and make one of my own. It's really interesting. Go and check it out. It's copyright, so it's not as though you could just copy it and insert your business name. You would have to develop your own. But there's some really good sort of guidelines in here. There's even a whole questionnaire trying to guide the client through thinking about what kinds of things that they want to, you know, present to you. And this is, again, you know, when I was just a little web designer, like 8 or 9 years ago, I used to hand out these questionnaires and say, give me 3 sites that you like, give me 3 sites that are by competition, give me 3 sites that you like the design of but have nothing to do with your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's actually really hard to get people to answer questions like that. They're like, what, you mean I have to do work so that I can make money? It's very strange. But that's my pick of the week.
Now, the folks at MediaCurrent are actually pretty modest because this PDF also has another use that they're just not really advertising. You can use it for preparing for first dates.
Wow.
I'm just going to be followed by silence.
I'm stunned by that comment.
And so now it's time for our site of the week. It's going to be another U.S. government site. It is it.usaspending.gov. Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about this one?
Well, this appears to be kind of a sister site to the recovery.gov site that launched earlier this year. And what this IT dashboard is it's a way to provide some transparency for government spending. The federal government is trying to get as much spending data as possible onto the site in an easily digestible format, so it's downloadable, so you can mix and mash it up with other things. And it's just a way to, you know, promote transparency in government. And it's a great, it looks like it's a nice tool. I don't know too much about, you know, the data that's on there or how it works, but it is a Drupal site and it's a very high profile site and it's going to have a boatload of data, you know, behind it.
Well, Mike, doesn't this use your favorite? It says CSV. I was going to say, doesn't the U.S. government use the RDF?
I believe they do use the RDF. What's interesting about this site and recovery.gov is a few days ago, it was announced that recovery.gov was going to be redesigned and rebuilt. I'm put a disclaimer in here that from everything I've read, nothing says that it's going to be redesigned or rebuilt in Drupal. The part of the story that shocked me and pretty much anybody else who read it was the fact it's a $9.5 million job to redesign recovery.gov, along with some options over 4 years that can bring the price to almost $18 million. Again, I don't know if it's a Drupal site or if the new site is going to be a Drupal site or not, but those amounts, you know, are staggering to say the least. And the Twitter sphere was quite a buzz about that.
You can give me $10 million to build a government site any day of the week.
And we'll definitely include clean URLs.
I will enter indentured servitude for you if you give me $9 million.
Yeah, it was quite a quite a shock when I saw that. Like, I was thinking it couldn't be right. And there's been a couple articles, and we'll put links in the show notes. This federalnewsradio.com site has a bunch of information, and one of the quotes about why it's so expensive is just priceless. The quote is, there's an entire infrastructure to be built. There's connectivity with other websites. There's the security piece, the backup piece, and there's a whole host of things that are being done here, and I would submit to you that these kinds of endeavors usually do cost this much. We're not simply putting out a visually more pleasing site.
Wow, I've been underbidding, apparently.
I think most people have.
That $68 is about to go up.
Yeah, it's $68,000 a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So it'll be interesting to see if this is, in all fairness, this is probably a completely moot story if the next version is not in Drupal. You know, if they're deciding to go, you know, with some custom system, you know, I'm not going to say I understand that cost, but, you know, it's one of those things where I go, oh, okay.
Well, Mike, as a former engineer, all I can say is engineers plus price tags doesn't really sound so bad in my head.
Well, so, you know, we'll see what happens. It's definitely a story that I'm going to keep my eye on. And it's just, you know, it's fascinating to me. Let's get back to the site of the week. it.usaspending.gov. Check it out. And again, I'd like to know, like, I don't think we ever found out who did recovery.gov. If it was a Drupal shop that we see at Drupal cons or that blog regularly. And the same, you know, as of right now, goes for IT dashboard. I'm not really sure who did this either, but I sure would like to know. So if someone knows, they are more than welcome to put that in our comments.
And if you would like to see a site that you have built or a site that you know about on this section of the podcast, you can go to drupaleasy.com/site of the week, all one word, and send us a little form.
I'm very excited about the next thing we have to do here. We get to give away some books.
Giving away books is the best.
Yes. And the even better part is Andrew has to somehow come up with some random numbers for us to determine the winners.
I can definitely come up with random numbers even without Earl's help.
So if you've been following our podcast for the past 5-6 weeks, maybe, we've had a couple of authors on, and we actually have some more authors coming up who I think we have one that's already recorded and one that's going to be recorded pretty soon. But a few weeks ago, Ryan talked to Emma Jane, co-author of Front End Drupal. And a couple weeks after that, I talked to Matt Butcher, which was the Drupal 6 JavaScript and jQuery book. So the publishers were nice enough to give us some copies to give away. So we had some people sign up. And Andrew, it's up to you to draw some random numbers. We have the names listed out in front of us with a number in front of each of their names. So Andrew has not seen the list, and it's up to him to draw some numbers for us.
Okay, I am ready. And the first number is going to be 2, also known as dos.
2, okay, this is for the front end Drupal book. All right, and what's the second number?
The second number is 4.
2 very low numbers. All right. So the 2 winners of the front end Drupal book, one of them is a local guy who we see at the meetups all the time, Steve Matheny. You are a winner of Emma Jane's book. And the other winner is Ted Wells. And I believe he left a comment on DrupalEasy.com. So Ted, please get in touch with us. We have some of your information. I don't know if we have your email address, if you left that or not. If not, you'll need to contact us via our contact form on DrupalEasy.com.
And if you know Ted, tell him to write us.
Yes.
Through our contact form with his address and his email and whatever we need.
Yeah, just get in touch with us and we'll tell you what to do to get your free book.
Snail mail.
These are actual books, not PDFs. Although I'm sure Audible.com will argue with you that, you know. But anyway, they are actual books. Like physical, you know, wood pulp.
Like they take up space in the world.
They take up space. All right, Andrew, you ready to give away 2 copies of the Drupal 6 JavaScript and jQuery book?
Yes, I am.
And now, Andrew, I'm going to ask very nicely. There are several names on this list I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing.
Okay.
So please be kind when you're selecting random numbers.
Definitely. And we have 10.
10. Okay, that's an easy one for me. That is Nancy Wickman. I believe it's Wickman. It's W-I-C-H.
If you're German, it would be more like Wichmann.
Okay, Nancy Wichmann.
Wow.
You are a winner. And who's our second winner?
Ooh, number one.
Number one. Oh, boy. Okay, well, I'm going to give it my best shot. I believe it's Kaylin. It's C-A-E-L-O-N. Kaylin. And Kaylin, we do have your email address, so we will be contacting you. But you are the next winner of Drupal 6 JavaScript and jQuery. So thanks for everyone. Thanks to everyone for entering. You know, both these books we enjoyed a lot. So I think the winners are going to get a lot out of them. And if you didn't win, highly encourage you to go to your local brick and mortar bookseller and pick up a copy, or order it on Amazon.com and do what you got to do to get your Drupal smarts.
Now, remember, you can find us on Twitter at Drupal Easy, or Andrew M. Riley, or Liberator with the 2.0 spelling, or Ultimike. And if you can't spell those, you can go to DrupalEasy.com/podcast for all of our Twitter links and all the show notes, including my great Flash video. You can always search for us in the iTunes store under Drupal Easy.
If you want to leave us a voicemail, we will answer some questions on the podcast. Or if you just want to say hey to all the people out there in Canada, I highly encourage somebody to call in and say that. You can call our voicemail number in the U.S. It is 321-441-3964. Or you can message the user PF Alliance on Skype. It's an old name for a podcast, so just leave me alone about it. And that was what I was going to say about that. Oh, and Mike, you better register Multimike on Twitter and forward it over to your other one.
Multimike. Yeah. Well, that's like, me doing more things at once. That's not totally uncommon.
Well, I'm Andrew Riley, and this has been the Drupal Easy Podcast number 15. And I'm telling you, vamos a la fiesta, mi pantalones.
And see ya. If I knew how to say it in Spanish, I would say it in Spanish. Adios. Adios.
Vaya con Dios, Drupal.
Adios.